In connection with our consideration of that fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're going to be reading Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. We read here of how God provided for the people of Israel in the wilderness, how He provided manna for them, and how His provision pointed to something greater as well, the provision of the bread of life that we have in the Word of God. We'll note that during the sermon as well. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read the entire chapter. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Thus far we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many other passages that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. You can find that in page 26 in the back of your Psalter. Lord's Day 50. There the Catechism asks, which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the Word. Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy Word that Thou dost give to us, the Word that proceeds out of Thy mouth. We're thankful for this Word because it doth make us live. It is a life-giving Word, and we need it. We need it more than we need bread or the things of this earth. We need this for our souls and for our spiritual lives. We pray then for Thy blessing upon the Word as it is expounded to us tonight. We pray that Thou will grant strength to Thy servant as he brings it and open our hearts to receive it, that we may remember how dependent we are upon Thee for all things, for the things of this earth, and for our salvation as well. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will use this Word to set straight our priorities in a world that focuses on the things of this earth. May that not be true of us, but instead may we learn to use what Thou dost give to serve Thee and to serve others as well. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will teach us to trust in Thee for all things that we need. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. John Calvin wrote in his great work, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, he wrote there that we cannot truly know ourselves without first knowing the true character of God. It's not often that I give a quote in a sermon, but here let me quote John Calvin in the Institutes. In this brief quote, he says, "It is certain that man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself unless he has first looked upon God's face and then descends from contemplating Him to scrutinize himself." So what's vitally important for us in knowing ourselves and in understanding the world in which we live is knowing God. God is the starting point of all of life. This means that God's character and glory are our first frame of reference in understanding ourselves and understanding the world in which we live. You might ask, why do I bring that up tonight? I bring that up tonight because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching us even in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. That the knowledge of God is first. First, before we can understand ourselves and understand this world in which we live. In this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus has taught us much about the glory and the character of our God. Let's remember for a moment what we've learned about the character of our God. We have seen, first of all, that He is a loving Father. That He's a Father who takes care of His adopted children in Jesus Christ. We have seen the kind of Father that He is as well. He's a transcendent, omnipotent Father. He's our Father in heaven. Not only that, but He is a God who is to be glorified and hallowed. We saw in the very first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be Thy name." We're to hallow and glorify His name because there is no one who is like Him. God is the King. He is the King who establishes His everlasting kingdom in Jesus Christ. We've learned that about our God as well. And we've learned that He is the one who is so sovereign that He decrees and plans all things. And He then is the authority of our lives. We are to live by His revealed will. So through the Lord's Prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching us much about the greatness and majesty of our God. Now that's important to understand as we transition tonight into the fourth, fifth, and sixth petitions of the Lord's Prayer, in which we consider our own personal needs. We've been considering petitions, the requests that we bring before God, but the focus of the first three petitions is on God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread. These are the personal things that we need. But even as we transition to consider the things that we need personally, we should see and understand that the very character and glory of God are on the foreground. They're not pushed to the background now. They're still on the foreground. We're going to see that tonight as we're reminded in this petition that Jesus teaches us to pray of our dependence upon God. And we depend upon Him because He is the Creator. He's the one who sustains life. He's the one who gives us what we need so that we can live. God is the great provider. So again, on the foreground is the very character of God. So that what John Calvin says is true. It's true because it's biblical truth. This is what is important, that we know God and then we see ourselves rightly. When we see that God is the Creator and the Provider, then we understand that we are completely dependent upon Him. So that's what we want to remember as we look at this petition tonight. The petition that we look at is, give us this day our daily bread. And we do so under the theme, praying for our daily bread. And there are three things we want to learn from this petition. First of all, our dependence on God. Secondly, Jesus here in this petition sets straight our priorities. So that's the second point, priorities. And the third thing is Jesus teaches us to trust. That's the end there of Lord's Day 50. We're to trust in God alone, following from what we heard this morning and applied specifically to the things of this earth that we need. So the three points: dependence, priorities, and then trust. The petition that Jesus teaches us to pray here, give us this day our daily bread, first of all reminds us of our dependence on God for the most fundamental needs of life. We see and understand that when God created us, He designed us to be dependent upon Him. We see and understand that even when we look at ourselves. When each of us was born into this world, we were born into this world as dependent human beings. In fact, that's part of what it is to be human. That's because God designed us this way. For our everyday needs to be met, we came into this world dependent upon others. When we're born into this world, we need our parents to feed us, to clothe us, to clean us, to take care of every one of our needs. We find also that when we get older, and some of the older folks in the church can attest to this, then again, we see how dependent we are upon others. Sometimes things are reversed then. And then parents are dependent upon the help of their children or their grandchildren. Or they need the care of others. They can't live at home anymore on their own. And so they depend upon others. We learn from that we were created to be dependent. We know our dependence in so many other ways. We need relationships because we are dependent upon other people. We depend upon others for the work of our hands. That's true whether you're an employee, but even if you're an employer. You need others who are going to buy what you're selling or buy the service that you have. You need customers. We're dependent upon others doing those things. We depend upon government for security and protection, all showing us we are created to be dependent. That tells us that in the world today, there is no such thing as a self-made man. We're not able to make it ourselves. But that's the delusion of so many in the world today. The world will speak of a self-made man. He's pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. He has done it all. There are people today who think they can be truly independent. They don't need anybody else. But when it comes right down to it, to the basic needs that we have for the things of this earth, we're reminded that we are composed of dust. Our lives are fragile and they are frail. And we are completely dependent upon the goodness of God. That's the exact point that Moses was making to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. He's reminding them of their dependence upon God and says, don't forget it. If you go into the land and you're there for a while and you begin to think, well, I've provided the wealth and the things that I need. Verse 17, and thus say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And then Moses says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Moses was telling the people of Israel, when you go into the land, they're right at the border, they're ready to enter in. When you go into the land and you experience all of the wealth and the abundance of this land, remember, you didn't get it by your own strength. You're completely dependent upon God. This petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, reminds us of our dependence upon the God who rules over all things. We see that when we look at the petition itself. So look at the words with me for a moment. Give. We pray this to God. Give us, give me this day my daily bread. The very idea of the petition is, God, give me something that I cannot provide for myself, of myself. We can't provide it. God, give me what I need. And now what we're asking God to provide is the basic necessities of life. Daily bread. Bread stands for that which we need of this earth. Not just bread, but bread and water, food and drink, clothing and shelter. All that we need for our daily existence in this life. That bread stands for all of that. Father, give me what I need, because I'm not able to provide it of myself. And do that daily, just enough for today. What Israel, for example, needed in the wilderness, manna and water. What Elijah needed when he was at the brook Cherith, and that stream was drying up, and there was no food to be found around it, but the ravens brought him food. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray this then in the light of what we have learned about God in prayer already. That He is glorious, that He is hallowed, that He's in heaven, and that He is omnipotent. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. He is Jehovah Jireh, as we pray tonight, the God who provides. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And He's our Father. Our Father who loves us. And therefore He will take care of us, His children. We are completely dependent upon this God for our earthly existence. All that we need of this earth. Not 90% dependent, not 80%, not 99.9%. 100% dependent upon Him. That's what the people of Israel learned while they were in the wilderness. And there were times where they were hungry. Their food had run out. The water had run out. And they needed God to provide food and water for over 1 million people in the desert. of all places. And just as dependent as the people of Israel were in that day, so we are that dependent upon God. Because He's the God who sovereignly rules over governments, over nations, over economies, over housing markets, over the stock market, and everything else that has an impact upon our economy and our ability to work and the ability that we have to provide for the things that we need. He's sovereign over it all. And so Deuteronomy 8 comes to us and says, don't forget. Don't forget, even with all the wealth and the abundance that we have today, comparable to the wealth and the abundance the people of Israel would have in the land of Canaan. Don't forget that the Lord, He provides it all. Every cracker in the cupboard, every gallon of milk in the refrigerator, and everything else that we have. This then teaches us two things that we must learn about this dependence. First of all, this dependence upon God for all things is not the result of sin, but it is affected by sin. It's impacted by sin. I said that man was created to be dependent upon God. Adam and Eve, when they lived in the garden, they were completely dependent upon God to provide for them. Adam and Eve depended on God to make the fruit in the garden grow. They tended the garden. They took care of the garden. But they couldn't make the things in the garden grow. God did that. They were created, even there in that garden, to be dependent upon God. We see then that sin did not create this dependence. God created us to be dependent upon Him. Although Adam and Eve were dependent upon God before the fall, we see and understand that their experience before the fall was abundance and surplus. They were living in paradise. There was no threat of famine. There was no threat that there was going to come some disease and kill all of the good trees in the garden, all of the good plants. Well, there was abundance and surplus. But how that changed after the fall. It was very different then. Food must be produced by the sweat of the brow. And its existence is never certain. Now, there's the threat of a famine coming. There can be blight that comes. There can be a storm that comes and knocks down crops and knocks down fields and threatens the food supply. There can be disease among animals or among plants as well. All kinds of things that can bring a great famine or a drought can come. All of those under the hand of Almighty God. And so there are places in the world today where there are such circumstances, and there are times when the people of God went through those things, even in the land of Canaan or wherever they were. So after the fall, we could almost say that we become more dependent on God for our daily bread. No, Adam and Eve were dependent, completely dependent. But now it's a greater struggle to provide the things of this earth that we need and working hard. So the fall affected that. And we're taught, even through the fall and its effect upon this world in which we live, how dependent we are upon God for all that we need. And so that's what we're to pray for. Not abundance, not riches, but give us this day our daily bread. The second thing we must learn, so the first thing was that this dependence was not a result of sin, but we are created dependent upon God, and man's fall into sin affected this. The second thing we learn is that this petition reminds us of a greater need that we have. And the greater need that we have is for the Lord Jesus Christ. The fall of man means that we are sinners in need of the Creator's mercy. That also comes out of Deuteronomy 8, the passage that we looked at tonight. We read in verse 3, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." What Moses is saying there is that part of the reason that they had to go through the wilderness, and part of the reason that they had to go through a time where they didn't have food, and then after that, God provided manna, was not only to teach them their dependence upon God, but it was also to teach them that they had a greater need than that. They had a greater need than bread, a greater need than water. That greater need was the need for a Savior. For that Word of God that proclaims that Savior, that Word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What that says is that God designed physical needs to point us to deeper spiritual needs. What an interesting perspective and principle. To think about that in those times when our stomach is growling because we're hungry. God gives us that to teach us of a greater need that we have than food. Think about hunger in that way. Maybe you teenagers where you get so hungry so often, and your stomach's grumbling, starving you might say. Well, you may be very hungry, and your body wants food at that time. But remember in those moments, you have a need greater than food, always. It's the need for a Savior. It's a need for Jesus Christ. That, by the way, is one of the benefits of practicing fasting. So when we deny ourselves food for a certain time, or maybe sweets for a certain time, and we crave it, we desire it, we can remember in those times, yeah, there's a greater desire we ought to have. It's the desire for the Word of God. It's the desire for Jesus Christ Himself. That's what Jesus teaches us in John 6, verse 35. After he had fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the people wanted to anoint Jesus their king. They wanted him to lead him against Rome and all the rest. Jesus says, "No, I am the bread of life." That miracle is to point to something higher and better. The bread that they ate the day before was to point them to Christ Himself, the one that they truly needed as the only answer for their sin. In Him alone is found spiritual sustenance and satisfaction. And so we learn from this petition as well in our need for God to provide the things of this earth we need, that we have a greater need than food. It's Jesus Christ Himself. So we learn our dependence upon God for physical things and spiritual things as well. The second thing we learn from this petition is to have right priorities. And 2 things I call your attention to in this regard. The first priority of our lives, really the overarching priority of our lives, is that we serve, honor, and love the Lord our God. The second one that goes along with it, that flows out of it, is that we love the neighbor as ourselves. So the first one, that we serve, honor, and love the Lord our God. This is connected to the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." It has to do with why we pray this. We pray this with this first and foremost, the knowledge of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be thy name." And we said that that's first because what we want first as the people of God is that God's name would be glorified, His name would be hallowed. We mustn't forget that as we move now to petition number 4. We mustn't have that kind of amnesia where we forget that. No, remember it. Keep it in mind as you pray this. We pray for the things of this earth that we need, that God's name may be hallowed and served and glorified by us in our lives. This is not separate from that, but it's connected. Let's see and understand that, first of all, by looking at two ditches that we might fall into that are wrong ways to view this. The big ditch, which is not just a little ditch, maybe ditch isn't even the right word. It's the ocean on one side that's the great danger for us. It's the swamp into which we can fall. That big ditch is this, that we set our hearts on the things of this world in the hopes that they will bring us joy and satisfaction. That's the ocean on the one side. That's the world in which we live. In the consumeristic and materialistic age in which we live, we see that kind of a focus, that the things of this earth will bring joy and happiness and satisfaction. To have the lifestyle of the rich and famous, that's where it's at. To have an abundance and surplus so that I really don't need to worry about earthly things, that's what we need. That's what the world is saying to us. It's saying that to us, especially in this season of the year, isn't it? If you opened your email today, you probably were bombarded with all kinds of sale opportunities. That's what happens. You shop at a store, they want your email address so they can send you their advertisements, and then you can see their sales, and now especially this time of year, they want you to buy their things. And this will make you happy, and that's the commercials on the television as well. You buy this car, you buy these tools, you buy it here. This is what's going to make you happy. It's going to make you happy if you buy those things for your loved one. It'll make them happy and all the rest. It's not a new problem, though. You go back to the Old Testament, Lot. Remember Lot? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Why did he pitch his tent towards Sodom? It wasn't because he loved all the wickedness of Sodom. It was the business opportunities. Buying and selling and becoming richer and having good pasture land for his cattle and all the rest. What was Lot's great weakness? He loved riches. He loved riches more than anything else. Except for God, we know he was a child of God. But he loved riches. That was his great weakness. Then you think in Jesus' own ministry, the rich young ruler, to whom Jesus said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And that man went away sad. And remember what Jesus said after that, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not a new problem, this great ditch or ocean on the one side where we try to suck joy and satisfaction out of the things of this earth. They weren't designed for that. In a very specific way, in regard to this petition, food is looked at that way in our world today too. Food has become one of the idols of our day. So that people don't eat to live, but they live to eat. We live in a society that emphasizes food, and good food's not wrong, and we may enjoy the good food that God provides, but it becomes an end in itself, an idol in itself, thinking that satisfaction and comfort can be found in that. You've heard of comfort food, right? We shouldn't talk that way because we say our only comfort is found in Jesus Christ, not in Jesus Christ and food. So we see and understand there's a great danger, a great ditch here for us. But there's another one. This one may be smaller and maybe not a great temptation for us in our day, but it has been a danger for the church, and that is that to think that this life and the things that are in it are evil of themselves. They're just a necessary evil. So really these things are evil. And we should just reject them as much as possible. That's a wrong way to view it as well. That's the other ditch. It's a wrong view because God is the one who's created all these things. And God is the one who gives these things. And we receive the things of this earth as good gifts from God. And we see, especially in regard to this petition, give us this day our daily bread, that our bodies were created by God. And not just created, but they're so loved by God. They're so loved by God that Jesus Christ came in body and soul to redeem us body and soul. Our bodies are important to God. so important that they are redeemed by God. So we ought not to think that the things of this earth are just evil. That's not a right view either. But this is what we see and understand tonight. That these things that God gives, food, drink, clothing, shelter, all that we need, they're wonderful gifts of God to be used for the glory of God. We remember tonight what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And in Matthew 6, the context is physical things, clothing, money, possessions, all the rest. And He's saying, with those, seek first the kingdom of God. We read in Proverbs 3 this morning, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." That's the right view of earthly things. That's why we pray that God would give us the things of this earth that we need. Give me what I need so that I can live for the glory of Your name. That's why we pray for daily bread. That we may have what is needed so that we have strength and energy for the work and callings that we have so that we can serve and honor God. Food is given by God as fuel for our bodies. That's probably first grade science. Food is given as fuel for our bodies. But as Christians, it's not just fuel for our bodies to do what we want. It's fuel for our bodies so that we can serve God. So this is why we pray this. Give us this day our daily bread. Give all the things that we need so that I can serve, so that I can obey, so that I can love, so I can be faithful in the work that God has given us to do. We see this in the light of the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, God's our Father. We're children of His. We want to honor Him with all that we are and with all that we have. And so that's on the foreground for us, using all that we have for the glory of God. And that's why we ought to pray then for the things that we need. And that's in part why we ought, how we ought to think about the abundance that we have as well. Not using it for me, but for the glory of God. Stewardship's important here. We're stewards. God owns everything. You and I, when it comes right down to it, own nothing. God owns it all. What we have is given to us by Him. Through work, yes, but it's given by God. He owns it all. We're stewards. It's all to be pressed into the service of Him and His kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's the confidence that we have. God will take care of our needs. Now as He takes care of our needs, we're to use it to serve Him. So that's why I say the first priority is serve, honor, and love the Lord our God. The second priority is love the neighbor. Again, here we want to take notice of the fact that Jesus teaches us to pray in the plural. It's not the singular. It's not the individual. It's not simply give me this day my daily bread. It's give us this day our daily bread. We're praying this in the light of the fact that we belong to the church. We belong to the body of believers. Jesus, He reminds us to think communally about the things of this earth that we have and how radically different that is from the world in which we live. No, I work hard and it's mine. You're not going to tell me how to use what I've earned by the work that I've done. That's the world in which we live. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. How radically different that is. You think about the church, the early New Testament church, having all things in common, taking care of each other, not worried about who had what. Now that entered in soon after that, it did. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira and their lie about how much they gave to the church and how much they kept for themselves. It entered in. But the beginning was so beautiful and right as they were sharing with one another and caring for one another, even financially for the needs of one another. That's what Jesus reminds us of here in the plurality of this petition. As those who are members of the body of Christ were responsible for the care of each other. And so we pray this for each other. Provide for others the things that they need of this earth. We pray that there would be the care of the poor in the church. We pray even that the churches and the schools would have enough so that the preaching of the gospel can go forth and our children can be educated as well. And that's why we think as well with the abundance that God gives, how we can support the causes of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But now we're reminded that we are to care for each other as well. So much that's beautiful about this. God's beautiful design that's built into this. For example, the fact that there are deacons in the church. There's this ministry of mercy in the church so that if someone's in need in the church financially, there's a way to get help financially. It's so beautiful the way that God has designed it. We're dependent upon Him. We work hard, but maybe we're not able to work because of some illness or disease or injury. Or we work hard, but there's something we didn't anticipate and simply can't afford. The transmission goes out in the car. There's a medical need and the bills start piling up. And then the church comes together and rallies and says, how may we help? We want to help. And God's given them a ministry to do that, deacons, to do that in the midst of the church. So that we can help each other in that particular way, but in many other ways as well. And I know we do that, bringing food to one another when we're in need. Maybe there's not food needed exactly, but we bring food to help each other. And then others don't even have to think about the food and getting groceries and all of the rest. And we do that within the church, and it's not just limited to that. We can do that outside the church as well, to neighbors and to other institutions as well. But this should be our first thought when it comes to the excess and the abundance that the Lord gives to us. How can I serve the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, serve other people within the church? That's part of our thinking, priority. Serve God and love the neighbor as myself. That's the second thing that Jesus teaches us in this petition. First, dependence. Secondly, priorities. Third, to trust. Lord's Day 50 emphasizes that, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. We don't trust the politicians. We don't trust those who are in important positions in financial matters in the world today. We don't trust in physicians or medicines or education. We don't trust in anything that man produces. We know that God uses them. They're means that are used by God. But we trust alone in God. Here's application what we saw this morning. Exclusive trust in God. Now it comes that way. Comes to this when we look at our finances. The things of this earth that we need. We're not to trust in things. We're not to trust in this world. Not to trust in anything that man produces, but we trust alone in God. And here's where the danger is to trust in ourselves. That we would not do things God's way. God calls us to work and He promises in that way He'll provide. May we think, well, if I just do this, if I follow this little scheme that I heard about and it's promising great returns and great riches, I'll do that. And some think, well, I'll gamble. I just have to spend a few bucks at the gas station and I have the possibility of winning hundreds or thousands. Why not give it a try? That's not such a great risk. Is that the way that God provides? Or to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. Husband and wife have a busy family and it does cost a lot to provide, but you know what? I wish we could have mom home and teaching the kids, but no, send her out to work because we need that. And then some people say, well, I wish we could do that. No, are we committed to it? That moms are home teaching the children? Well, then we're going to trust. We're going to work hard and trust that God will supply in that way. The danger for us is that we do something that's contrary to the Word of God because we've set our hearts upon these things. We're not trusting in the Lord to provide. We need to trust God that He will supply the things of this earth that we need. And He will. That is His promise to us. He will give that which we need through the means that He provides. And again, this has to do with seeing and knowing our Father in the right way. He calls us to work. He calls us to be faithful stewards, not spending our money and using our things in a wrong way. And He promises to provide. This is not a reason to abuse what God says here. Say, well, it doesn't really matter so much. God's going to provide. I don't have to work that hard. God will provide. I can spend my money in ridiculous ways. God will provide. I've heard He use that way. That's not trust. But working hard, doing what God calls us to do, and trusting at the same time that God will provide. So that's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And there the rubber meets the road at times, doesn't it? Bills do pop up. Medical needs pop up. Older age maybe comes and a man can't work anymore and there's not that regular income that's coming in. And how will we make it in the years ahead with the frailty and the weakness of life? And all of those things we learn to trust in the Lord. So Jesus teaches us that in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We're dependent. We're to set our priorities rightly. And we're to trust that our Father, He will provide what we need in His love and His mercy for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word. We need it, Father. Especially in the world in which we live today and knowing our own sinful natures. And we set our hearts upon the things of this earth and view them in a wrong way. We pray, Father, that Thou will provide what we need and that we would learn. That we learn to press all that Thou dost give into the service of Thee and Thy kingdom. To support the causes of Thy kingdom. And also to be used by Thee to help others. Father, we desire that we'd glorify Thee. And honor Thee with our substance. Work that in us, Father. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will bless us as we return to our work and callings in this week. Give us strength to be faithful. And through that work, provide the things that we need. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.